Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
My name is Kate Marilli, and I play Delia.
In Beetlejuice the Musical, it's coming to Broadway at the National, National Theater, now through May 28th. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so before we get into this version of the show, let's, big picture it at first. We in DC, we had the privilege of seeing the very first, the original version of Beetlejuice the Musical back, I think it was in like 2018. We covered it. Yeah. So talk about, I can't use a soundbite if I say it. So I'll have you say it. Talk about why this is a really cool homecoming for like a pre-Broadway show that went to Broadway and now is coming back.
You know, I've only been with the show for the Broadway National Tour, but I've been a fan of the show since I saw it in its first Broadway incarnation at the Winter Garden Theater. And I think what's really special about coming back to the National Theater in DC is what audiences saw in 2018 with the pre-Broadway run is not exactly what we're doing currently at the National. Pre-Broadway tryouts are for, ironing out kinks and trying new material and new characters, et cetera. So when it transferred from the National Theater to the Winter Garden on Broadway, it went through so many incarnations and became a success at the Winter Garden. The Tony Awards really helped it. The Tony Award performance in 2019 really helped it take off. It gained such a great fan base and following. And that fan base truly is like off the charts. I have never experienced a show that has such an incredible fan base. And they are, a big part of why the show returned to Broadway for its second incarnation at the Marquee. And I think that is a true testament to the material, to the creative team, to the cast, and the fact that it's now being so successful on the road, on tour. It's so special to return to the National Theater in DC and to show audiences the successful Broadway show that is Beetlejuice now.
Oh yeah. There's so much I want to unpack in what you said, but yeah, I mean, just sticking with the whole, the pre-Broadway tryout and now coming back theme. I remember, it was with, Alex Brightman, as Beetlejuice, and he's back in town now, at Spamalot at the Kennedy Center at the same time. So he's back at the same time.
I know. I'm actually seeing him today.
you're seeing that show today?
I'm seeing the show today. I'm friends with Alex. I'm friends with Leslie Kritzer, both Beetlejuice alum. So it's really great to go support them in Spamalot and also say hi to friends. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then Sophia Ann Caruso was Lydia Dietz in that first time. And, she
Correct.
Went on to do the School for Good and Evil and all this stuff. So it's nice seeing them going on and doing other things. But let's talk about how those are big shoes to fill and who's filling them. So let's start with, who's taking over Alex Brightman's role as Beetlejuice? Well, I guess we should say Michael Keaton's role that Alex Brightman took over. And now
yeah.
he's taking over for
yeah.
that.
paying homage to Mr. Michael Keaton, who apparently is going to be reprising his role, Beetlejuice 2, the movie, which has just been announced. Very exciting.
Yeah, Tim Burton's coming back for that, right?
Yeah, he is. Michael Keaton, I believe Winona Ryder is also rejoining the film. I'm excited. I'm a big Beetlejuice fan in general and Tim Burton fan. So when I saw that news, I went, woo, so exciting. So our Justin Collette is our Beetlejuice, who is originating the role on tour. Justin is out of this world brilliant in this role, truly making it his own, making his own version of the role. And I think that's what's making it really special on tour for fans of the show who've come to see it, who both adore Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, also Alex Brightman. And now Justin Collette joins the ranks of Beetlejuices. Our Lydia Dietz is the brilliant Isabella Esler. She is truly a star, and I'm so excited for everyone to see her star literally explode on tour. She's really brings depth and gravitas to the role of Lydia, and our two stars are really it's all on their shoulders, and we are surrounding them, and it's really exciting.
What role are you playing?
I play Delia. Delia is the Catherine O'Hara role in the film.
Gotcha.
So I get to play the fun, kooky, wacky role who, you know, is made famous in the film by Catherine O'Hara. She's, you know, of course, does the Harry Belafonte Deo Banana Boat song, which she
rest
becomes
in rest in peace, rest in peace,
rest just, in peace. Yes. Very exciting too, and what an honor to be able to sing his songs, both of them, both Shake Jump in the Line, Shake Shake Sonora, and the Banana Boat Deo song. And so I get to play step in the very high stiletto heels of Catherine O'Hara, who I am a major fan of in general of her work.
Oh yeah.
The role is different than the film. In the film version, she is actually Lydia Dietz's stepmother. In the stage version, of course, she is her life coach, hired by Charles Dietz, played by my co-star Jesse Sharp, and she basically falls in love with Charles Dietz becomes Lydia's future stepmom. And basically, Delia is just very bohemian, very whimsical and wacky, but genuinely has a good heart and wants to help Lydia through her grief of losing her mother. Her mother passed away. The show starts off with a funeral, and it's Emily Dietz's funeral, which is Lydia's mother. And basically Delia is there to life coach her through her grief and mourning and bring her out on the other side so that she can re-enter the world and hopefully live a happy, fruitful life. And there's a struggle there with Lydia and Delia. But by the end of the show, I think Delia wins over Lydia, and they, kind of start a family, basically, in terms of Delia joining their family. And that's kind of what my role is. It's really fun. I'm never, ever tired of performing this role. It's just an absolute blast.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you gave a shout out to Catherine O'Hara. A lot of people forget that, you know, I mean, I guess she'd done SCTV, like sketch comedy stuff in the 80s, you know, similar to like SNL stuff. But a lot of people forget Beetlejuice was like one of the ones, at least on the big screen, that sort of put her on the map. And then, you know, she reunited with Burton to voice, Sally in Nightmare Before Christmas. And then off to the races with Home Alone and all the Christopher Guest stuff and, you know, and Guffman and Best in Show and then Schitt's Creek. And then it's just the rest is history. But Beetlejuice was really important. So it's really cool that you're playing that role.
It is so cool. It's a dream come true. And I hope someday I get to meet her, because I will have a Wayne's World moment of dropping to my knees and saying, I am not worthy. She is just the pinnacle of comedy and brilliance. And just the idea that I get to step into her shoes every night is pretty exciting.
That's really, really cool. So yeah, just to remind everybody. So you are Delia Dietz, and, you know, in the movie it was O'Hara and Jeffrey Jones was Charles and Delia Dietz. And then the other couple, you know, is Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis as like the couple that lived in the house but died and are the ghosts. So you're the family that comes in and visits with young Lydia in tow.
We are the family that moves into the house belonging to Adam and Barbara Maitland, which in the movie is Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis. In our version on tour, it's Brittany Coleman as Barbara Maitland and Will Burton as Adam Maitland. And it's fun to be possessed by them every night, because they're the ones who basically possess me in the Deo moment. The six of us are having so much fun together on stage. It's a real treat.
That's so cool. And then from what I remember, my wife and I just went back and watched Beetlejuice literally a couple of weeks ago. And from what I remember, it's different from the stage version, the one that was just at National Theater and the one that's coming back with you. The stage version, I think, was like one of the big switches, but that they helped make Lydia Dietz like more of a main character. You know, in the movie, she's, you know, just sort of the, you know, the daughter of the family that moves in or whatever and can see some of the ghosts and stuff. But here, isn't, do you agree? I mean, don't they really ramp up and give her more of an arc in this?
Absolutely, Jason. I mean, in the film version of Beetlejuice, number one, Beetlejuice, the character played by Michael Keaton, literally is only on screen for like 17 minutes total of the film.
Right.
Obviously, in this version, Beetlejuice is on stage 99% of the time. So that's a huge shift from the film. Also, Lydia Dietz, Winona Ryder in the film, Isabella Esler on our version, on the tour, she is also on stage about 95% of the time. She is a huge part of this show. She is basically the lead. And it's her journey through trying to find her mother on the other side in the netherworld. She really wants to find her mother when she finds out that this book, the Handbook of the Recently Deceased, can help her find her mother on the other side. That becomes her main goal, is to find her mother and to be reunited with her and hopefully, you know, be able to be with her mother. Just like she is talking to Adam and Barbara Maitland. She's like, well, maybe if you're here, maybe I can have my mom here. And that basically becomes her main goal of the show. And so that's a huge change from the film. And also my role and Charles Dietz's role are also a little bit meatier as well, a little bit bigger, in terms of trying to help her. Charles goes on the other side to the netherworld to chase after Lydia because he's scared for her. It's our version really has more empathy. It has more of a plot line with family and struggle and all of that. It's a little bit deeper in terms of plot and in terms of relating to the movie.
That's very cool. And then, of course, you know, elephant in the room, bearing the lead, the biggest change is, of course, that this one is a musical. And I mean, you mentioned Deo and some of the stuff, you know, the songs that were featured in the movie version, but you know, this is a full on musical. So tell us, run through maybe a song or two or three of your favorites that you get to either sing or watch in the wings every night.
Well, other than, of course, Harry Belafonte's Banana Boat song, Deo, I would say that my main song that I sing is called No Reason. And it's basically saying that everything happens for a reason. You should just let fate take the wheel. You know, something goes wrong in your life, it was probably supposed to. But actually, the score is written by Eddie Perfect. And literally, it spans every genre you could think of. It goes from, you know, soul, it goes pop rock, contemporary musical theater, Harry Belafonte with Calypso. It's all over the map, and really catchy tunes. And my song basically is more contemporary musical theater, whimsical, but then breaks in the middle of the song where Delia has a meltdown because you finally realize that she has her own trauma stemmed from her husband leaving her for another man, actually, and that she's dealing with her own way of dealing, her own trauma of being abandoned by her husband and trying to work through that grief. So that's kind of funnily where Lydia and Delia meet and finally realize that they both are dealing with trauma, which is actually interesting that it happens mid-song. So that's my favorite song, of course. And then I would say another song is Dead Mom, which is sung by Bella Esler as Lydia. And it's one of the more catchy, famous songs of the show, mainly because it's really sings to the rafters. It's an homage to her mother. And then I would say the other one would be Beautiful Sound, which starts at the top of Act Two. And it's where Beetlejuice really is enjoying haunting the Dietz's house, and he summons all of his clones to join him in scaring all of these neighbors and people who come to visit the house. It's also a big, big dance number by our ensemble, jumping around on the stage and dancing this incredibly brilliant choreography by Connor Gallagher. It's really cool. It's a really great opening number for Act Two.
So you're saying that the songbook by Eddie Perfect is perfect. It's perfect.
I think it's perfect. I am never tired of hearing these songs every night. And you know what's funny is when you're a role in the show, you don't get to like sing or hear all the songs all the time. So sometimes I'll be backstage, you know, getting ready for another scene, and I'll hear a lyric or two that maybe I've never heard, or maybe it hits a little differently. That's also really cool. I think the lyrics and the music really truly bring this show to life and make it even more special than most people thought it could be.
Nice. So earned every ounce of that Tony nomination.
Yes, absolutely. But
damn that Anais Mitchell for Hades 10.
another great show. But yeah,
and check out our interview with Anais in the archives. Great stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, so it's a great songbook. I'm telling you, you know, folks, if you just remember the movie, you're in for the movie plus more with all these songs, like from having seen it myself. It's really a fun time. So I guess in addition to the music, the only other element we really should go into is, you know, what we see visually. I mean, when you think of Tim Burton and there's just like a whole visual iconography, you know, that goes with that. And especially with Beetlejuice. So what do we got? Is it like a lot of, what is it? Like black and white stripes, you know, what do we see?
Of course, everything is painted black and white stripes. You know, that's an iconic Beetlejuice palette. But what's really interesting for any Tim Burton fans out there is that if you're really paying attention and you really look from the top of the show, you will see Easter eggs throughout the entire design of David Koren's, honoring Tim Burton's basically other films of Tim Burton. So you will see a little bit of Beetlejuice, the movie. Of course, you will see a little bit of Edward Scissorhands. You'll see a little bit of Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, there are Easter eggs hidden out throughout the entire show. In addition to, of course, David Koren's brilliant original scenic design, it's what I think what's really fascinating about the design is that it marries both actual scenic design and projections at the same time. So you really get to feel like a three-dimensional world of the Netherworld and of Beetlejuice that David Koren has created. Black and white, edgy, sharp edges, but also rounded out with, you know, the Dietz's own flavor of gold and poshness. Then of course you have the Netherworld, which is really out there. Lots of the lighting design is just really special with, you know, fluorescents and greens and purples and pinks. It's a very loud, colorfully loud palette. Also just combined with just the ambiance that the theater itself brings to the show. So I think that the audience is really in for a treat of just a rock concert in every sense of the word. Ambiance, loud, color, everything.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a visual feast for the eyes. And how Definitely. Can it not be? How can it not be with Tim Burton? It's few filmmakers have that. I mean, he's an auteur, of course, but few have that mix of like a dark gothic with also get like some candy colors. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's amazing that visual sensibility.
He's iconic. His visions are truly iconic. You know, it's Tim Burton the minute a movie starts. It's just, you're like, oh, it's Tim Burton. And you know, you're in for a wild ride, but a really exciting, fun wild ride. And it's the same with Beetlejuice.
Absolutely. And just a final, you know, little movie history note. I know, you know, Beetlejuice really, man, we're giving Beetlejuice a lot of credit, but it deserves it. Beetlejuice really it cemented Tim Burton as like a filmmaker here to stay. Like, I know he had done, you know, Pee-wee's Big Adventure and stuff, but I'm pretty sure the producers of Batman were a little nervous about this new up and coming Tim Burton, even after Pee-wee. But once he did Beetlejuice, they were like, oh, okay, this guy's he can handle Batman. He can do it. And then, you know, Edward Scissorhands and the rest that you mentioned, but
absolutely. It really put him on the map and kind of started his whole journey of making Tim Burton-esque films. I forgot about Batman, and gosh, I grew up with those movies too. I just literally was like, wow, that's right, he did those as well.
You can't forget the Batman. I mean, that Tim Burton literally gave, I mean, now it's hard to imagine now with after The Dark Knight went really dark and everything, but you got to remember back in the late 80s, you know, Batman was still, you know, the candy colored bow bow whap, you know what I mean, from the 1960 series. The Adam West. So it was really Tim Burton's vision that first made the Dark Knight like a dark night, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Edgy, dark, but also like enticing. It's he's really special at what he does. There's no one like him.
And of course, there you go. There's your connection. Michael Keaton, Tim Burton, Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton, Tim Burton, I'm Batman. All right, we're getting sidetracked because we could just talk Tim Burton all day, but I have more than enough to work with. I always like to end with just pretend I'm not even here, speak directly to our listeners and say, hey, everybody, come on out to Beetlejuice, the musical at National Theater. It's going to be fun.
Yes, everybody, come out to Beetlejuice, come to the National Theater, come see a wild ride rock concert. You will not be sorry, and wear your stripes.
Awesome. Thanks. And I guess we should end by saying the title three times, right? Ready?
Right. Beetlejuice, the musical, Beetlejuice, the musical, Beetlejuice, the musical.